Doesn't matter how many times you watch it, he still gets through the hole. Pretty extreme activity, isn't it, really? A little bit like being a student. Do you think of it like that? Being a student's quite an extreme activity. Think what we do to our young people. We send them into another city for their education, which apparently is a sort of British thing. I don't think they do so much of it on the continent, certainly not in the United States. And we ask them to make really important career and sort of topic decisions at age 18, or maybe even younger than that, when they're doing their A-levels. We put them into accommodation, which I don't know whether you've ever been down in Hyde Park. Some of the accommodation's a bit iffy. And they mix with all sorts of strange people, and they have all kinds of lifestyle choices to take. It's quite an extreme occupation, being a student. But the good news is that many young people survive the experience. Now, I don't know what your experience is. You may have left home at that sort of 18-year-old stage. You may have gone to university or college or gone away to work. Hands up if you left home at that sort of stage in your life. Yeah, there we are, some survivors here. Yeah, good, good. So we looked for some examples of people that we might bring before you for to stimulate you as far as prayer for students is concerned this evening. And we thought of Joseph, but we thought, well, that was a bit too extreme, really. He was kidnapped and taken down to Egypt and sold as a slave. We thought about Daniel. Daniel's been run on many occasions for students, but his situation was quite extreme. He was taken as a young man to a foreign country and forced to learn. But we eventually lighted on Esther. Now, if you know the story of Esther, her circumstances were quite difficult as well. You really need to read the whole book of Esther. Read it at one sitting. It's a good story. You'll enjoy it. It's one of the passages in the Old Testament which a broad spectrum of Jewish people will know, because they read it regularly at the Feast of Purim. I think that's the correct way. Is that the correct way to pronounce it, Ruth? It's a story which they read, and it's a story that people join in with. So I had a moment when I thought, well, perhaps it's a little bit like a pantomime, because there are some bad guys in the story of Esther, and maybe if we were really interactive, a bit too much to ask this evening, if we were really interactive, then when Haman is mentioned, the bad guy, we could all go boo, hiss, and when Mordecai or Esther is mentioned, the good guys, we could all say, yay, great. And I imagine, we know our Jewish friends are rather lively, aren't they? Perhaps that's how they read the book of Esther. And it's read at Purim because that's a time when they remember that Jews around the world and over the centuries have been persecuted, and yet God has delivered them. And that's the story of Esther. So it's interesting, isn't it? Is Esther a historically accurate, or are all the details in Esther historically accurate? Well, the time setting was, it was during the exile, and the cities that are mentioned and the kings that are mentioned are all accurate, but I do wonder whether it isn't a sort of a comic drama. You read it again, see what you think. Can you allow for a God who includes in his word some literary devices to get his point across? Some people think Jonah is a satire, a cutting story about a bigoted little man. Read the book of Jonah again, see what you think about that. It doesn't have to necessarily be an actual event for it to be true and to have an impact on your heart. So the story of Esther takes place during the time of the Jewish exile, perhaps between the first lot of people that returned to Jerusalem and the second people who returned. It takes place in a city called Susa, which, if you know your geography, Basra in southern Iraq, where a lot of British forces operated during the Gulf War, about 200 or 300 miles north of Basra, you would be into modern-day Iran, and that's approximately where Susa would have been. The story revolves around a plot to destroy the Jews. The Jews had been scattered throughout the, originally the Babylonian, and then it became the Persian Empire, and there was a plot to destroy the Jews throughout that empire. It's a story that we're familiar with. The Holocaust was not the first time that Jews were persecuted. Esther was a beautiful young woman. Again, read the story. You might not agree fully with the circumstances of her lifestyle, where she was in Susa. A beautiful young woman who's in the court of the king. She probably would have been expected to conform with the culture that surrounded her. Take on the dress, take on the food, take on the way of living. This was a big world around her, much bigger than she was. She'd been taken from her homeland, taken from the faith and the culture that she was familiar with, and dropped into what was the superpower of the day. Mordecai, who you hear of in the reading, gives Esther a familiar challenge. He asks Esther, are you going to pretend, effectively he asks her, are you going to pretend that you're not one of God's people and keep your head down? Or will you do the risky thing and serve God? So it was terribly risky for Esther to go in and see the king. Because as the story suggests, the excerpt that Levi read for us, if you went into the presence of the king uninvited, then the likelihood is you'd be executed. The only way of escape was if the king extended his scepter to you. Then you would be accepted and you could speak to him. That's the risk that Mordecai asks her to take. Are you going to keep your head down? Are you going to do this risky thing for God's people in order to serve God? Now, prayer is not actually mentioned in the reading that we had. But there again, God is not actually mentioned in the whole book of Esther. But I think about when she asks Mordecai to rally the people and for 3 days to fast. I'm sure the intention was for fasting and prayer. And that she too, with her immediate maids and friends, they would also pray and fast. She's clear in her mind that in order to serve God and to be true to him, she needs to come to him in prayer. She and her friends. So that's what we're going to do this evening. And we've got some information for you about different aspects of student life. But we're going to have enough time to be able to get together, talk it through, and pray about it. So I'm going to hand back to Levi, who's going to tell you how we're going to do this.